In today's gospel, my brothers and sisters, we see the man, the father of a lunatic son, who approaches our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because he assumed in his arrogance that the disciples could not heal their son, his son. This man, the boy's father, shifted the blame for his own lack of faith onto the very disciples of our Lord and Savior, saying that it was them who were too weak to heal his son. The Lord, therefore, shames him and really shows the true condition that is at stake here. He says, "O faithless generation," that is, "it is not so much the fault and the weakness of the disciples as it is your lack of faith, which being great has not allowed this condition to be overcome." He rebukes not only this man, but really everybody, not only that day, but anyone who hears the gospel, who lacks faith. And we see that he says, "How long shall I be with you?" Calling them out. Now this gospel for us is extremely important. We see that it was not only the lack of the faith of the father, but in some way the lack of the faith of the man, young man, who was afflicted by the demonic force. And this lack of faith allowed this demonic foe to pester in his life, to cast him into the water, to cast him into the fire, to have some type of dominion over him, even though he was created in the image of God. Now, the apostles themselves, as you can imagine, when they were rebuked by this man, were terrified in some sense, saying, "How come we could not cast this one out?" Christ, of course, tells them, he stresses, the need for prayer and fasting, that this kind, referring to the demonic foe, only comes out by this. And we see that this is really with the issue at hand in today's gospel, but also in the daily lives of us who are of the church and seek Christ. We must realize that a lack of faith is something that we often freely embrace. St. Mark the Ascetic tells us, "The first among all evils is ignorance. Next comes lack of faith. And all bodily pleasures result from this previous laxity. And this laxity results directly from a lack of faith." St. Maximus the Confessor tells us, "There are three things which produce love: material wealth, self-indulgence, self-esteem, and lack of faith. And lack of faith is more dangerous than the other two." So in other words, the faith that we should have, we should certainly ask Christ to give us this grace. If we are doubting him in any way, shape, or form, we should cling to him and realize it's an illusion, it's a mere temptation. And if we truly lack faith, let us pray more ardently that we will receive it. The blessings of God are freely bestowed upon mankind. It is really us. We have to be zealous, at the same time being humble, of course, but wish to receive this grace because it will not be imposed on us. It's there for the taking, so to speak. And it's there according to the measure of our faith. If our faith is weak, so our reception to God will be weak. If our faith is wholehearted and is strong, and we are seeking, and despite no matter what's going on in our lives, we put Christ first, then we have faith and that grace will be freely given to us. Now, St. Peter of Damascus actually talks about the lack of faith as a passion itself. And he tells us that this lack of faith brings up much disaster in the life of the spiritual person. The lack of faith will bring laziness and slothfulness and listlessness and all manner of demonic vices. And how true this is. If our one goal really in this life is to acquire the heavenly kingdom, but we lack faith, we have no means, no tools to acquire this. Instead, oftentimes, we become the plaything of the wicked spirits. We will be full of self-love and avarice, and we will certainly succumb to the root of all evils, which is pride. We must be diligent. We must be watchful. We protect our lives from the passions themselves that arouse in mankind. Each one of us, of course, being affected, perhaps different from the one person next to us. But either way, this is where the battleground takes place. This is why we must cling to Christ to avoid these sinful tendencies that will certainly stamp out our faith. Over the last few weeks, when we listened to the various Gospels, there was another great example of having faith. We see that Peter showed some type of imperfection in his faith. Christ had let the disciples be caught up in a great brutal storm. And of course, this was when they were out in the boat. And this was, of course, much deeper than just a physical storm. But it showed the storm of life, the stormy seas, so to speak. And that how one can be swallowed up in the sea, that is, of course, the passions. And when we lack faith, and these waves crash against us, temptations, thoughts from ourselves, from the senses, because of our fallenness, thoughts and temptations from the evil one and his minions. It does not really matter where they come from, but the point is, these waves do crash against us. And we see when Peter, of course, entered to the sea and sought to walk among the water to go to Christ, because of his deficiency at that time of faith, he began to sink. And of course, that was symbolic of sinking into the abyss of the kingdom of darkness. But it was Christ who let him live and, of course, brought him unto himself. And this is what Christ does with each one of us, according to our measure, according to our faith. This lack of faith can lead to a greater problem in the spiritual life, such as dejection or despondency, or what the fathers often refer to as acedia. Now, the church fathers are very specific about this malady and how it really affects a man. They describe it as a sort of spiritual depression or dejection, and we must struggle against it, and the demons that obviously propagate it. We try to cast the soul into utter despair. We must drive it from our heart. And it is often a demonic foe, and they often will succumb to the power of Christ if we have this faith. If not, we become like Cain, who did not repent, according to the fathers, who killed his brother, or Judas, who betrayed his master. And I have to say that, as a priest, this is probably one of the biggest problems that people often come for help for. It is almost like this hopelessness, this dejection, this, I guess you could say, spiritual malady that is it's greater than the depression. Because the fathers are very, very clear that this acedia is not depression in the sake, like the physical malady we know about today has to do with physiology and brain chemistry and things like that. This is completely different. This is truly a malady of the soul, and they understood what it was and how detrimental it was to the spiritual life. The remedy, of course, to all this, my brothers and sisters, as put forth in today's gospel, is first and most prayer and fasting. And this will help us train the body, train the soul, so we can lift ourselves up out of such dejection or demonic ensnarement. The Vagaries of Solitary tells us, prayer is the remedy for gloom and despondency. And of course, also, as we know, because the church prescribes it, fasting is a great tool that we have. Now, fasting, of course, is not just the giving up of food. It's much deeper than that. There's a real spiritual underpinning to it. Then we try to bring the body into control. We can often conquer or fight the passions. When we fast from impure thoughts, we may have a pure heart. When we fast from being judgmental of others around us, we start to acquire the great virtues of God. So prayer and fasting, when they are truly understood and they are implemented in the life of the Christian, will certainly help us in this struggle to acquire faith. It is through this prayer that we gain humility, that the heart is cleansed from the wicked and unnatural passions, and the divine grace in us is rekindled as it once was there in baptism. Because we know that oftentimes post-baptism, what happens? We kind of fall into our own ways. Or if we grow away from the church, oftentimes the ways of the world imprint their ways on us. And once again, we must fight the good fight, go to the saving bath of confession, and once again approach with humility our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In doing so, we can achieve true prayer, which of course is not just of the mind, but of the heart, really in the inner recesses of a man. And this is where true prayer really exists. We have personal prayer, we have corporate prayer. We pray in our homes, we pray together as a community. And each and every time we focus on Christ, we are made pure in some way. And when the heart becomes pure, it creates a place for the Holy Spirit to dwell. And if the Holy Spirit is there, and it truly dwells within us, then we will not be afflicted like the young man in today's gospel, who lacked faith, and obviously the household also lacked faith, because it tells us the father was, of course, lacking in some capacity. The prayer of Saint Ephrem that we read in Great Lent, I figured I'd mention it because, of course, we're out of that season right now. But it shows us when we direct our mind and our attitudes and our hearts towards Christ, how deep prayer is. That it's not something just symbolic, but it's a true relationship with the divine Savior. And of course we know that prayer, O Lord and Master of my life, take from me the spirit of sloth, despair, lust of power, and idle talk. But give me unto me a spirit of chastity, humility, patience, and love to thy servant. Yea, O Lord and King, grant that I may see my own sins and not to judge my brother. For blessed art thou unto the ages of ages. Amen. In this short and simple prayer, we profess God as Lord. We are taken from the realms of this despair and hopelessness and pride, idle talk and idle living, judgmentalism, to see our own frail state and the need for humility, hope, patience, and of course, the cultivation of true love. This is the type of prayer that we want inscribed deep within us. Not just asking for stuff, not boasting because of our piety, but instead realizing our condition, and that it is only Christ that can heal us. Nothing else in the world can. To be humble before God. To realize when we despair, let us cast that passion away from us. And focus on the risen Christ. That no demonic foe can touch us when the Holy Spirit resides with us. Christ has overturned the power of the evil one and his minions. And this is why we should cling to him and run to him. And not run to the ways of the world, which are filled with deception and fakery. We truly have the heavenly realm at our disposal. Just like today when we gather today as a community, and we have corporate prayer. We gather together to receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And our prayers are answered because on the altar itself, he becomes fully present for us to nourish on true food indeed. Let us cling to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and realize that the influences of the world have no power when it comes to our Lord. My brothers and sisters, when we reflect on this young man who was afflicted by the demonic presence, let us not lose hope. Let us not be scared, but instead turn to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, who perfects our faith if it's lacking, who gives us the grace to carry on, and of course, blesses us with his presence, the presence of true love.